This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and everything involved with that. And we love to have your participation this morning. And you can participate by calling us at 410-WCBM-680 or 800-WCBM-680 if you're outside the local Baltimore dialing area yet still in Maryland. That is an in-state 800 number only. So that's how you get in touch with us here. Hold on a second. Well, that was interesting. Didn't think that was going to happen, but it did. So a little cough there I had to clear up. So that's how you get in touch with us, by calling the 410-922-6680 number. And we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you about any of your fishing adventures, any past fishing adventures, any questions, any comments, any stump the host questions, if you like. And we'd be more than glad to try and play along with your question. So, been an interesting week. Last Saturday, we attended. I attended the 50th birthday party of our friend Tackle Box Tim Sherman. Met some great people there, and including Lee Hale, who's currently holds the new state record for chain pickerel with an 8-pound chain pickerel. From down on the Eastern Shore, one of the Eastern Shore ponds. And we talked to a number of guys who are reservoir anglers and fishermen all around the area. And it's quite an interesting conversation. Of course, if you heard last week's show, Dr. Joe Love was here talking about tidal bass fishing and some of the upcoming tournaments, including the big fishing tournament coming up at in Cecil County, the Bassmasters Elite Tournament coming up on August 13th through the 15th. That'll be a pretty big deal for Cecil County. And we were up there yesterday. We actually went to Anchor Marine and the boat launch there at the marina. And we know those folks. And, you know, we talked to a lot of different folks up in Cecil County. And, you know, we're working on Maryland Loves Crabs magazine. So if you have any crab-eating pictures, get them to me ASAP at ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. That's the email address, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. You know, crab pictures of something you've caught, crabs that, you know, crab feast you had, family, you know, close-up of kids eating crabs and that kind of stuff. That would be pretty cool to have that and get that in the next issue. So we look forward to that. So we're working on the Maryland Loves Crabs, getting that all together for the upcoming 2015 edition. And so your help is helpful on that. If you got any crab articles you'd like to submit or recipes or anything like that, send them on in, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Oh, I got to do that again. First sip of coffee in the morning. Yeah. Brew it at home and by the time I get in here, it's about ready to drink, and that's just about perfect temperature right there. But along those lines, we were talking to a friend of ours in the crab business, and he was telling me that a friend of his, I don't know if he's a former waterman now or retired or whatever, had read an article about the way the sewage treatments plants had treated their sewage, and when they flushed it into the waterways in Massachusetts and Maine and other of the New England states, there was a, you know, they treated with chlorine to make it safe, I guess, for the environment. But come to find out that the lobster harvest had declined for a number of years in New England, and they couldn't figure out why, what was going on. And it seems like they've traced it to potentially this this chlorine substance that they're adding to the sewage treatment stuff, which is detrimental to the larva. Now, I don't know who tests these things or who finds these things out, but I think it's fascinating. And this fellow further went on to tell me that a number of watermen in Maryland waters carry a bleach solution, chlorine bleach solution, on their boat to treat their equipment, to keep grasses and barnacles and things like that from growing on their equipment. So they bring a crab pot in, they dunk it in this tub, the solution, might be 100 gallons of bleach solution before they put their pots up for the day. And he said, knowing how things are done, he believed that some of these watermen will just open the valve at the end of the day and, the bleach water goes into the bay. What's it going to hurt? I found it fascinating, and I just heard about it yesterday. I haven't had a chance to do any research on it or confirm it, but I'd like to know if there's any watermen out there, if they can tell me more about this bleach solution that they carry on their crab boats to treat their equipment. I'd like to hear that. So the number here is 410-922-6680. And, is that a common practice? Is that everybody have that on their boat? I don't know. I've not been around that tremendous amount of crab boats, but I've not seen that tank, that they're talking about. But it might be there. So if you're out on the bay this weekend and you happen to see a crab boat, or anytime you're out there, let me know if you see a tank full of solution on there that these guys are dunking their equipment in. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I'm simply saying I was told by a person familiar with crabbing that there are these tanks of bleach solution aboard crab boats, and that there's the potential there for the watermen to be harming their own resource, especially, during times when juvenile crabs are in the bay. You tell me. I don't know the answer. So I'm just putting it out there. That's pure speculation on my part at the moment. So just sharing. That's all. No accusations, no statement of fact, no investigative report. It's just a speculation, and it's out there, and I wanted to put it out there for our listeners. So there you go. Based on what's going on in New England with the lobster, of course, chlorine can't be helpful to a lot of different species, but it's particularly detrimental to the larva of the shellfish. So, anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Want to hear from you? Come on, it's don't be shy. We're we're just here to have a good time this morning and to talk about fishing and hunting and answer your questions and kind of let you know what's going on out there if we can. So, let's see. Okay, switching gears here. The political fundraising season has started. No question about it. We're getting, as the Maryland Hunting Coalition, we're getting requests to support different lawmakers in their fundraising events. And some of them we need to. Now, the Maryland Hunting Coalition was set up as a 501c4 corporation. We are allowed to be involved in advocacy and, have a lobbyist and be involved in that. Due to our corporate tax structure, we're allowed to do that as a 501c4. And we are also allowed to make political contributions. And that's just the way it works. Politics 101. When, somebody helps you in the General Assembly and you appreciate what they've done, you support them. So if they've got a benefit or a fundraiser, or barbecue or crab feast or whatever it might be, and they send you information and pretty much expect you to help them. So we're willing to do that because, for quite frankly, it wouldn't be for if it wouldn't be for half a dozen lawmakers, we would not have had our success in Annapolis. You see, the way things are set up in Annapolis, the people with the bulk of the population, the urban areas, get more representation, because of the population than the rural areas. But the rural areas are where, you know, we hunt. That's where the people who are more inclined to hunt live, Eastern Shore, Southern Maryland, Western Maryland. And, you know, the folks in Annapolis have this urban mindset. And the way I explain it to people, you know, what the coalition does is I say, you hunt out here. You hunt in your own county. You hunt in Western Maryland. You hunt in Southern Maryland. You hunt in Eastern Shore. You hunt, you know, wherever you can find a place to hunt, whether it's locally or, you know, you travel. But we do our hunting in Annapolis, in that few square block area there between the Taws Building, Taylor Avenue, and the State House. That's where we hunt. That's where what the hunting coalition does, that's where we do it, where the laws are made, where the regulations are made that affect us all as hunters and trappers and gun owners in Maryland. So that's where we have our voice and our influences with the General Assembly and with the Department of Natural Resources. So that all being said, with these fundraisers coming up, we've got one on July 1st. The Maryland Hunting Coalition is allowed to make political contributions, and that's why I said all that to say this. We could use the help of those of you who hunt in our listening audience out there. Some of you have been very, very helpful in supporting the coalition, and we appreciate that. But now it's time to say to the lawmakers, we appreciate what you've done for us. We want you to remember us. Therefore, we want to help you with your fundraiser. So it's very simple. You just go to the Maryland Hunting Coalition website, and you look for the contribute or donate button, and, you know, click on it. It'll take you to the store. You click on the word categories. It'll take you to another page, and it just says, you know, just click on the button. It'll say, it'll give you a list there. How much would you like to contribute? And we would appreciate anything you could do to help us because, you know, not only is our advocate on a year-round contract, and we pay him every month, but is also this is another level of expenses that's faced by the Hunting Coalition. And, you know, we hope you could help us. That's it. Pretty simple. 410. WCBM 680 is our phone number, 410-922-6680. Do you know that you can win wonderful prizes just by going fishing and now cash? That's right. 67 species across Maryland, east to west, north to south. Cash and prizes for fishing in your Maryland favorite Maryland fishing spot, $25,000. In guaranteed cash prizes. Now, there are three regions. There's the non-tidal area, the freshwater, the Chesapeake Bay and tidal complex in Maryland, and then the Atlantic Ocean. $6,000 in each one of those regions will be given away to some lucky angler just for catching, an award, angler award-sized fish. Now, the master angler, that's a different category. That's something new. You catch one fish that qualifies for an angler award. Used to call it a citation, an angler award in each of the three areas, in the freshwater, in the tidal, and in the Atlantic division, and you are automatically entered to win $2,000 in cash as a master angler. And then at the grand finale in September, there'll be $5,000 in random cash drawings given away at the finale for all the folks that have caught angler awards. And not to mention, you know, if you are part of the Maryland Fishing Challenge and catch that award fish, you become eligible to win, you know, boat, motor, and trailer, and exotic vacations, and, you know, tackle packages, and Costa gear, and all kinds of good stuff. So you can also catch and keep invasive species of any size and qualify for a special prize drawing. So that's all in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. So I encourage you just to go fish, visit them online, www.dnr.maryland.gov/ fisheries, and you'll be in. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Line-X spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Line-X spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Line-X spray-on bedliner. From Catonsville Line-X or Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Line-X is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, you know, our friends at Clyde Sports Shop, I talked to them yesterday. If you need it for fishing or crabbing, I recommend Clyde Sports Shop right here in the Baltimore area. They're located conveniently at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. And they carry a lot of makes and models of rods and reels, St. Croix rods and Ugly Stick rods and Shakespeare and Pfluger and Penn and others. And they have a good selection of bait casters, too, at good prices for you bass fishermen, if you like that as well. So you need to, you know, check that out. Check that selection of reels out if you need a new one, that's for sure. They can help you. They do rod and reel repair, and they'll clean your reel, and they'll, you know, put any parts in it that it might need. You know, a kid came in there the other day, had a broken handle on a pen, I'm not sure, and I think they were able to fix him up. So I don't know. But you can get your fishing license there. Live bait, if you need any kind of live or frozen bait for any kind of fishing or crabbing, they've got it. Any kind of lures for small fish and medium-sized fish and big fish, they've got that as well. So why not stop by? Check out the entire fishing and crabbing selection at Clyde Sports Shop. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. Phone number, 410-242-6108, or the 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-3474. The easy way to remember that is 247-FISH. And you got a 24-hour report.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Ahoy, Captain Seaweed here. Just a reminder, when you have a Captain Seaweed soft crab, you're having a Republican soft crab. You'll find Captain Seaweed soft crabs at Joey's of Pikesville and King Liquor of Rosedale.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, this goes out to a friend of mine, Wyatt. There you go. Steelers Wheels.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing joy, I'm all over the
Yeah, baby. Stuck in the middle with you. Clouds to the left of me. Jokers to the right. I like that song. Liked it. I was feeling the music, brother. That's what I was doing. I'll dance a little bit in here. Why not? I got no callers to dance with. Okay. Leave the comments from the peanut gallery alone over there. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. So what do you think? What do you think? I mean, whatever you want to talk about. Oh, my gosh. I may as well go home. I'm pretty much done right now. You folks, you're running the show today, and I know you depend on me for a lot of good stuff. I'll tell you what. Let's talk a little bit about the availability of crabs for this Father's Day weekend. And we can talk about fathers, too. How about this for a topic? Tell me about your dad, whether he's here or not. My dad died in 1999 at the age of 80. And he was a good man. He was a good man, and he was good to me. I was adopted. I don't know how many of you know that or not. But my dad adopted me at the age of, he was 35. My adopted mother was 33 at the time. And my dad was the older brother of my birth mother. My birth mother was 15 when I was born, 15 or 16, 15, I think. And I've never met the sperm donor that fathered me, had no desire to. Know where he lives. If he's, I don't know if he's alive or dead. Birth mother went on to have five or six more kids to three or four other guys. So I've got a bunch of half-brothers running, half-sisters running around out there somewhere who I don't associate with and knew them as a kid as my cousins. But that's where we're at. So anyway, my dad, when I was about 6 years old, he left the Pennsylvania Railroad Police and he became the superintendent of the Valley View Nursing Home, in which was a county-run facility in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And the men in the maintenance department, and I can't remember all their names, George Lane was the head of that department. George was a fisherman, and Bill Love was a fisherman and a hunter. And what was Don's name? They were all, anyway, the whole bunch of them were outdoorsmen, fishermen, hunters. They all subscribed to Outdoor Life, Field and Stream, Sports Afield. They'd bring their old issues in, and I would sit in the maintenance room, which was in the basement of the building, and read these magazines insatiably, and read, which I love to read. I just love to read. And I would read all the old, you know, Jack O'Connor and Ted Trueblood and you know, all H.G. Tapley, Tapley's Tips, and the whole deal. But anyway, they got my dad interested in fishing. So not only did he get interested in fishing, he dragged me along. Well, I was always enthusiastic. I was an outdoorsman from probably birth, you know, butterflies and you know, snakes and all that stuff when I was a kid. And there was a creek on the property that the nursing home sat on, and that's where you would find me at the ages 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in the creek during the summer when I wasn't at school, catching minnows and crayfish and salamanders and water snakes and the whole deal. That's what I did. So Dad got me into fishing at the age of 6, and we had many, many fishing adventures, and maybe I'll share more with you, but I would like to hear from you folks about you fishing and hunting with your dad. My dad wasn't much of a hunter. He had hunted. He came back from World War II, and he brought two Japanese 7.7 Arisaka rifles with him and had them both sporterized at a local gun shop, which means he cut the stocks down on and had the fore end rounded off on them. And you know, that was pretty much it when you call sporterized. I think he put a recoil pad on them. And I still have one of those guns. He gave one to my Uncle Kenny, and he kept the other one. And I don't know that he ever shot a deer with that gun. I know Kenny, I think, did. But And I've never shot one, which that should be on my bucket list, is take that 7.7 out this year. Of course, when I got a hold of it, I took it to a gunsmith and put new front and rear sights on it. And, you know, I further bastardized the poor gun, the 7.7 Jap and Japanese Arisaka, excuse me. And so, you know, guns, firearms. My dad was a cop. I mean, he shot his service revolver with me when I turned 12 years old. He bought me a 22, a Remington Nylon 66, and we had fun shooting that. And then he traded that in because I told him, Dad, can't hunt squirrels with that. Semi-automatic in Pennsylvania, not allowed to hunt squirrels. So we went out and traded that thing in on a 22 Magnum, Winchester lever action, and I can't remember the model number, that I still have today and I still use. That's my groundhog plunking gun. So and sometimes squirrel gun. So anyway, my dad was a late in life brought to the fishing and hunting world, and he pulled me along with him, and we had, like I said, great adventures in Quebec and in New Jersey and in Florida, and we just had a lot of good times together as far as fishing is concerned. We hunted a little bit together. Dad wasn't much of a deer hunter. He liked the small game and turkey hunt and, you know, pheasant hunt and that type of thing. We did all that. So anyway, I'm remembering my dad here on Father's Day and probably boring you folks. But please, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Give us a call and we'll be more than glad to take your call and talk to you about your dad. So, Brian, wake up in there. I know you don't have much to do because the folks aren't calling, but I don't understand it. Are we actually on the air? Really? Okay. Well, maybe I'll have to teach my knot tying class to get somebody to call. To tie a Palomar knot. My fishing line tying, knot tying seminar. To tie a Palomar knot, make a loop in your line at the end. Tie an over. Put the eye of the hook through the loop. Put the line through the eye of your hook and tie an overhand knot. Never mind. We got calls now. How about that? Look at that. They don't like me tying knots on the air. Lines are loaded up. That's what I like to hear. Where y'all been? Where have you all been? I know. Actually, to tie a Palomar knot, you put the loop through the eye of the knot, not the line. Let's talk to Wes in Westminster. Good morning, Wesley. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I'm good. Anything but the knot. Knots on the radio doesn't work.
Okay. So what's up, man?
I thought I'd tell you about my dad. My dad's not a fisherman or a hunter.
Right.
I was an outdoorsman for first. You know, I mean, it was definitely, you know, I was outdoors stuff. But, you know, he stepped into my world a little bit, you know, time to encourage me, keep me going. He made sure I got a pickup rifle. Made sure, you know, he wasn't much of a shooter, but, you know, he'd been through the service, so he had service experience, you know, so, you know, muscles down range, you know, finger off the trigger, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you know? Sure.
And, you know, I can remember, you know, never thinking that he thought much of me shooting or anything like that until his brother came into town, and I had the BB gun out there, and he brought him out there. He said, you ought to watch him shoot. You know, watch him shoot. I was shooting the little soldiers,
knocking them off.
And so my uncle, who always smoked, stuck a cigarette in the ground, and he said, go ahead, see if you can shoot that. Well, I busted that cigarette up, man, and he was just amazed. My dad would say, see, I told you he could shoot. I never even knew he watched me shoot.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
He's so proud of me. And
yep.
I just
I have to bring the poem in my dad wrote when Kathy pulled a surprise 40th birthday party on me, gathered all my friends together and totally surprised me. And my dad stood up in the middle of all that and read this poem. I'll tell you what. You talk about a proud dad and a prouder son. He stood up and he read this poem about me, and I'll tell you, it was one of the fine highlights of my life when he did that. So, yep. So, and Dad only ever shot one deer, and he shot it with the rifle I shot the nice 8-point with last year, and you know I shot a doe with his rifle the year he died, 1999, that season. And maybe it was a year after, I don't remember. But, you know, it was to honor him, take that out and get a deer with it. Because, like I said, he only ever shot one. And I took that out again last year, just kind of thinking about him. And I shot a real nice buck with it. And I was very tickled. That was the first buck that rifle had ever taken. So he's in my thoughts and in my mind, you know, a lot. So, all right. Well, Wes, I appreciate the call. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
All right, buddy. See ya. There you go. Let's talk to David in Dundalk. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good. How you doing this morning?
Good. What's up?
I was just calling. I was hearing you talking about the crabbing, and I live here on the water in Bear Creek, and for many years, the crabbing was always better, and these last 2 years, it's just been horrible.
Well, yeah, it's been bay-wide.
That is it. Okay, and I don't speak too much to a lot of other watermen, of course.
Right.
Into your show every weekend, and it always just seems like, you know, the Upper Bay is doing a lot better, and I just was wondering, I mean, is there anything I could do? I mean, nothing I could do, any of it, you could call them in.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, it's been a tough year for the crab business in Maryland the last 2 years, and hopefully it started out a little slow this year.
Yeah, I just wanted to sure I think the weather to keep them in the mud the last couple of years.
No. They're just haven't been. They're just haven't.
Okay.
There haven't been any. We've had a series of storms, and we've had some ecological events. I think that took care of wiping out the crabs. I think they're looking more towards these fall storms that we had. What was the storm that came through 2 years ago? Was it Sandy?
Was that Sandy that went through? I think it was. Yes.
It might have been, but right at the time the crabs were starting to migrate, we had these serious storms that basically, you know, just flushed everything out of the bay and down into the Gulf Stream, I guess, or wherever they wound up. And, yeah, so, you know, they're just now starting to make a comeback, and hopefully we're going to have a good year. But the first, you know, as cold as it's been, yeah, it has an effect on them. The rain, the cold, and the low you know, it does. And you'll have a nice couple of warm days, and you'll start catching crabs, and then the weather will drop off the table, the weather will get cool, and it'll rain, and that puts them down for a while. And then, of
God
course,
knows.
every full moon, there's a shed. So,
gosh knows with the weather around here, you know,
exactly.
How down it's been. So.
Yep. So, all right, brother.
Thank you very much. You
see
have
you,
a great, when you said great show, man.
Thanks, buddy. See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Let's talk to Crabber Ron. Hey, Crabber Ron, how you doing? Long time no hear.
Yeah, Alan, I'm doing fine. Hope you're doing well.
Doing all right. Yep.
I just want to talk about my father. He
sure.
never was a hunter. He was born in East Baltimore and had an old ice truck and an old truck in the wintertime, and moved to Pikesville about 1950 or 51, bought a grocery store. He just never had time to hunt. And his father had a bar on the corner of Bank and Washington Street. This is probably about in the teens or the 20s. And he used to have crabbers would come, the commercial crabber would come out and drop off of barrels, not bushels, but a barrel or two of crabs, and put them in his ice house that he had attached to the bar and
right.
their house they lived in. And he would set up a couple saw horses and a couple old doors, and he'd steam crabs. And my father said the you know, the locals would come in and drink a 5-cent draft beer and sit there and eat crabs all day for nothing.
Nice.
But that's what they did.
Yep.
But they never did. I don't think my grandfather ever owned a gun in his life. My father only had a .38 because he had a grocery store and kept that in there, which he ended up getting robbed. They never did get a chance to use it.
That's funny.
But
so.
All right. Well,
all right, buddy. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, buddy. What do you think about the – did you hear about the thing I talked about with the bleach or
– No, I've never heard anything about that.
You didn't.
I hope to hear somebody call and talk about it.
I hope so, too. All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, Alan.
See you, Ron.
Bye-bye.
Here he goes. Hey, we've got Rodney and Carney and Tom in Goldsboro, but it's time for us. It is time for us to tell you about another one of our sponsors, and that would be the Maryland Fishing Challenge. And the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free statewide tournament for all recreational anglers in Maryland, men, women, children. And the way it works is all you got to do is go fishing. You catch a fish of a notable size, notable, you know, minimum size, and you get an angler award. And when you get that angler award, then you are qualified to go to the grand finale where you could win wonderful prizes like Tracker Marine Boat Package, an exotic fishing vacation, Costa Gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center, even a share of $25,000 in cash prizes. So there's also a youth division, too. There's 67 species of fish that you can catch in freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, Atlantic Coast. There's catch and release. There's invasive species, youth, and all that. You know, you need to find out about it on the website, but the fish are biting right now. Yes, indeed, everywhere in Maryland, in the Potomac and Deep Creek and freshwater ponds and in the bay and in tributaries and you name it, fish are out there and they're biting. Now is not the time to stay indoors. Go fish. The official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries and you will be glad you did. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. New location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Hey, our buddies at NBS Seafood are telling me that if you want to get some of those Cajun crawfish from Louisiana, live crawfish for that Cajun feast, now's the time. They are quickly running out of their supply of crawfish. I don't know if the season's over or just how that all works, but it's coming to an end. However, they will continue to have the andouille sausage and the gator tail and that type of thing. So you can still put that Cajun touch on your seafood feast for the family and all that, if you'd like to. They're located, NBS Seafood, located at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, has got all that stuff. Now, what they did tell me is this, that the soft crabs, which they shed themselves in their own tanks with their own blended water and filtered water, the crabs are purged. They're butter soft, and they are spectacularly delicious. And I will personally attest to that because I've purchased crabs at NBS Seafood, and they are magnificent. So if you like soft crabs, they've got them. They've got the hard crabs, too. They've got fresh crab meat and shrimp and all the other seafood stuff and Black Angus New York strip steaks for your grill so you can do surf and turf this weekend if you want. So stop by and see NBS Seafood. The phone number here there is 410-271-3202. If you missed the address, it's 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie next to Jim Donny RV. Thursday, Friday, and Mondays, 2 to 7. Today, 10 to 7. Tomorrow, noon to 5. They accept Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. If you have any questions, here's that number again, 410-271-3202. For no bull stuff, that's NBS Seafood in Glen Burnie. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Ahoy, Captain Seaweed here. Just a reminder, when you have a Captain Seaweed soft crab, you're having a Republican soft crab. You'll find Captain Seaweed soft crabs at Joey's of Pikesville and King Liquor of Rosedale.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Thank you very much. Dr. Rodney and Carney. Good morning, Rodney. How are you doing?
Good morning, Al.
That's
first
good.
Time speaking to you. All
right, cool.
You a lot.
Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, and happy Father's Day to everyone.
Indeed.
Word applies. Little experience. I went to a pretty boy yesterday, and a friend of mine and myself, and we were trolling for a...
White perch?
White perch.
Yep.
And... he has a special rig he uses, and he teaches me and things like this. And he goes in there about four or five times a week, actually.
Mm-hmm. Let me guess. It's an inline spinner with a night crawler on the back.
No, it's a 3-ounce lead weight.
Okay.
About 10 foot up off the line.
Okay.
On a 3-ring connector. And the other, the 3-ounce weight goes on 1 ring. With a little length of line. And the other ring carries about a 6-foot lead of a line.
Okay.
With a number of 4, I believe it is, panfish hook on.
Okay.
It, with some chartreuse little balls.
Yep.
For traction. And a piece of white perch.
Okay. Okay.
And we troll very slowly, electrically, of course. But anyhow, catch dozens and dozens of them.
Yeah.
At a slow troll. Anyways, my friend uses them for fertilizer mostly and for fish sticks, of course. And the bald eagles.
Yep.
Pretty boy has
lots of them.
Pretty boy has 2 resident bald eagles up there.
At least.
And we'll shove a thumb up in the gills of a panfish and heave it overboard right there in the reservoir. And that fish will that eagle will let us get about 20, 30 yards from the fish, and they'll come in. And I'm telling you, give us such a panoramic, beautiful view of these eagles in their natural environment, retrieving that fish right off the water top for us, right in front of our eyes. And it's an amazing a panoramic thing.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good.
Truly a really groovy sight to see in your lifetime.
Sure. Well, that's pretty cool, Rodney.
Yeah, that's yeah. Fantastic.
All right. Yep. Well, look, we thank you and your friend for your conservation efforts, and you have a great weekend, okay?
You too, and you keep on doing what you do.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Talk to Tom in Goldsboro, and then we got Camo Preacher in Dundalk. Good morning, Tom. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Alan. How you been?
I'm good. You?
Doing good. Just wanted to call and give a shout out to my father for always having the time to take me fishing and hunting.
Exactly.
And also say hi to you. I haven't talked to you for a little while.
No, it's been a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Is your dad, Tom, is your dad still around?
Yeah, fortunately he is. He lives up in Buffalo area.
Yeah.
And, he didn't start fishing and hunting until he was in his early mid 20s when he met some guys that enjoyed it. And you know, I remember him working in a factory, you know, hot summers, and come Saturday morning when he had the opportunity to sleep in finally, I'd be knocking on his door at daybreak, and he always had the time to take me out.
Exactly. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, I really appreciate it. You know, all the time in the outdoors really shaped who I am today. And,
indeed.
I enjoy passing it down to my kids now.
And you do. I know you do. Yes, indeed. Carried on an email conversation here with a friend of mine and talked about his dad and, you know, dropped out of school, medic in World War II. You know, and raised a family, at, you know, after all that. And I said, it's very interesting my age, not your age, but my dad and his dad went through, same generation. They went through the Depression in the 30s. My dad would have been in his, 10 to 15 years old during the Depression. And then right after that into World War II and served, he served in the Philippines on Peleliu, and he served in Japan during the occupation of Japan. And, saw a lot of action, was wounded twice, and, came home and got a job with the Pennsylvania Railroad as a sergeant in the police force and did that for 13 years and then went on to become a nursing home administration until he retired. And, he had a life, a full life pretty much before I came along. And I was so blessed to have Lloyd P. Ellis as my dad. And I was, you see what he's influenced. So, here I am. So,
well, we're fortunate to have him introduce you to the outdoors and have you so involved in everything these days. We appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Well, good. So you doing good, Tom?
Yeah, doing good.
Good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
I just got up this morning to figure out listen to your show, and it's always great to hear your voice. So.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'll be following up with you at some point.
Yeah, we need to do that. I need to get together for lunch. So, All right, buddy.
Well, you take care. Happy Father's Day.
You do. You too. And to your kids as well. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Tom in Goldsboro. There's Camo Preacher. Wants to talk about chlorine. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Alan?
I'm good. How about you?
Hey, doing well this morning. I was listening to your comments about the larvae and how chlorine might be affecting them, and it just so happens that I've been doing some research lately on chlorine fluoridated water.
Oh, yes.
That we consume, and some of the health issues that are coming to light nowadays, some significant things over the years that people have been acquiring, cancer rates that are going up, other health issues, because our water is treated with chlorine.
Do people understand where fluoride comes from? Do you know what fluoride is?
I know that it's based on chlorine, which is an element of
my understanding is it's a byproduct of aluminum manufacturing.
Correct. It's something that comes from that they used to they thought would be good to treat water, bacteria, all that sort of thing.
Right.
But what's happening is, it's interesting that it comes from ammonium because there's been some research that shows that even some ammonia products, ammonium nitrates that are used in underarm antiperspirant, actually leaches into the skin and may be causing some Parkinson's.
Really? Yeah, I use an antiperspirant, and again, that is an aluminum manufacturing byproduct that they put in there to keep you from perspiring.
Yeah, and I don't see a stretch at all. That if you think about the amounts of water that goes through our drains, you know, that we flush or goes, you know,
yeah,
everywhere that it goes, that could be probably one of the biggest problems. Instead of blaming the farmers for all the things that's happening in the bay,
let me tell you something. I've been very fortunate. Now I do have type 2 diabetes, and God knows where that came from, but probably because I never took care of myself. But every day, once the fluoride thing happened when I was a kid, every day, every morning, I would get up. My mother would make me breakfast. It was usually poached eggs and toast and a cup of tea. And she would set out a vitamin pill and a fluoride pill.
Mm.
Take these every single day from the time I was about, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years old. And I took them for years. And I often wondered if, you know, that fluoride in pill form, and I don't know what percentage it was, but, you know, and fluoride in general was ever good for us, or is that just part of the deal that the government made with the aluminum manufacturing industry to get rid of their waste products?
You have to wonder, but it has not been a good health effect on any of us, and I think, you know, if the Lord tarries and more research is done, history will show that's probably one of the worst things our governments have done for our populace, you know, whether it was on purpose or by accident.
Right.
You know, well, it'll be hard-pressed to judge, but
yep.
Oh, my, the effect on all of us is,
I know it,
horrible.
Yep. All right, buddy. Thank you for the call, and we'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure.
Blessings to you.
All right, Russ. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. There he goes. Joe, you're going to have to hold on. There's the music, and either hold on or call back after the top of the hour, and we'll get right to your call first thing in the next hour. No guest in the second hour this morning, so feel free to email Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com or give us a call here when we come back from the news. Now get out, stay safe.